outside the girls' locker room one day after a particularly nasty verbal beatdown from Amy and her crew. He didn't make fun of me, didn't ask questions or get all weird because I was a freshman and he was a junior. He just bundled me up and carted me home with him because I was sad and alone and he didn't want me to be either of those things ever again. He told me he could tell by my eyes that I was a kind person, that I needed someone to look out for me. And from that minute on, he decided he would be the person to do it. I remembered all the warm and fuzzy feelings that came with that moment, remembered the gratitude and overwhelming joy I felt at finally having someone see how worthy and deserving of unconditional love I was. But what I remembered most was everything inside me going upside down when Rule walked into the kitchen and tilted his chin at me and asked, "Who's the chick?" My heart stopped beating. My lungs felt like they were going to collapse. My skin was suddenly too tight all over my body, and I couldn't form a rational thought or a coherent sentence. Back then, I chalked it up to a silly teenage crush. All the Archer boys were good-looking and had qualities that made them larger than life. Every girl I knew had had the prerequisite infatuation with a bad boy at one time or another. Of course, they normally grew out of it when they realized the bad boy was just an ass and they deserved to be treated better. But as time went on and things changed, my feelings never did, even though it was clear they were never going to be returned. Rule only saw me as Remy's little tag-along, a spoiled little rich girl. And then as we got older, as Remy's girlfriend. That sucked, because I had never been any of those things, and as a result, I sabotaged relationships, turned down guy after guy simply because I didn't want a good guy. I wanted the one who was damaged and blind to the way I felt. I was a good girl. I was loyal and honest, and I worked hard and invested a lot of time and energy in building a secure future for myself. I stayed out of trouble and went out of my way to try to be the polished and perfect daughter my parents wanted me to be, and the successful, driven woman the Archers had given me the confidence to be. What I never spent any time being was the person that I actually felt like I was. She was locked somewhere deep inside me, suffocating and still holding on to the hope that Rule would notice she was alive. It was exhausting, and in the vulnerable moments when I was brutally honest with myself, I had to admit I wasn't sure how much longer I could keep it up.
Chapter 3. Rule. It was a crazy busy week at the shop. I think mostly because we were right in the thick of tax refund time, and people had extra money to spend. I was booked with back-to-back appointments all the way through Saturday, and even went in on my day off to work on a guy's sleeve I'd started a few months ago. Nash was just as booked as I was. When Saturday night rolled around, we were both ready to let loose and tie one on. Sunday morning went about the same as last week, only this time when I walked the girl to her car, I didn't have to worry about Shaw bursting in on a scene I didn't want her to see. I called Rome to see when he was going to come to town, but apparently things at home weren't any better after last week, so he wasn't ready to leave Mom on her own yet. I wanted to care, wanted to feel bad for her, but I just couldn't muster it up. I was getting ready to crack open a beer and plop in front of the flat screen to relax and watch the game, when Nash came out of his room pulling on a hoodie and a black ball cap over his shaved head. He was a few inches shorter than me, built a lot stockier, but in all actuality was a hell of a lot better looking. He kept his black hair shaved close to the scalp, because he had twin tattoos on the sides of his head. His bright, bright eyes looked more purple than blue, and always stood out starkly against his much darker complexion. He didn't have as much metal in his face as I did, just a hoop through the center of his nose and both ears sporting obsidian gauges. For whatever reason, he kept his hands and neck free of ink, which always made me laugh because of the stuff permanently marked on his head. We were a matched set, so when we went out together, it was usually a given we wouldn't have to come home alone. Nash was a much nicer guy than I was. He just looked several degrees more badass. Jet and Rowdy are at the goal line watching the game. They want to hang out if you're down. Rowdy worked at the shop with us, and Jet was the lead singer of a local metal band we liked. They rounded out the group that Nash and I traveled in. Going to the bar to watch the game sounded a lot more fun than brooding on the couch by myself. So I put my beer back in the fridge and shoved my feet into my black boots. Nash drove a fully restored 73 Dodge Charger. It was a monster of black, chrome, and motor. I was pretty sure everyone in the apartment complex knew whenever we were coming or going, because it was just that loud and thunderous. But it was a cool ride. I knew it meant a lot to him, because he'd done the rebuild mostly by himself. Nash's background was a little sketchy, but since my own was less than stellar, I never really pushed him to talk about it. I knew his dad had died when he was really young and that his mom had remarried some rich asshole who, to this day, Nash refused to have anything to do with. Phil, the same Phil who let us make his shop our own, had been integral in getting Nash to adulthood without a criminal record and a whole pack of illegitimate kids. The bar was in Lower Downtown, or Lodo as most people actually from Denver called it. It was a popular hangout for mostly locals and industry people. And since I hadn't been around on a Sunday in years, I forgot how packed it could be when the Broncos played. The guys had a table in the back right under a massive flat screen, and already had a pitcher of beer waiting. Fist bumps and head nods for greeting went around the table, and a raucous cheer went up in the packed bar as the Broncos scored. "What up, fellas?" Nash poured us a round as we settled in. Rowdy wiggled his eyebrows up and down, and motioned to a spot over his shoulder toward the bar.
"Isn't this better than family time? Nobody wants to see Mom dressed like that."
The girls who worked in the bar were all dressed in sexy sports-themed uniforms. Some were super sexy cheerleaders, and some were in really small jerseys and hot pants that laced up like football pants. My favorites were the tiny referee outfits that barely covered their bottoms. No, they sure don't. It was nice to just chill and spend time with the guys on a Sunday, when normally Sundays were the worst part of the week. It was way better than getting torn to pieces by my parents just for breathing. I felt a twinge of guilt at my selfishness, but I knew enough beer would squash it. Jet looked up from the plate of nachos he was steadily demolishing and pointed a finger over his shoulder toward the bar. "Wait until you see the chick waiting on us, dude. Just dude. There aren't even words." Jet's band, Enmity, was pretty big in the local scene, and I knew from first-hand experience he had his pick of groupies and rock chicks to choose from. If he was impressed by a chick, then she was probably a dead 10, and I couldn't wait to check her out. We chatted and pounded the pitcher away in under 30 minutes, and the guys were getting louder and rowdier. But we were having a good time. We needed another round sooner than later, but I had yet to see the elusive waitress of hotness. Suddenly, the hair on the back of my neck went up, and I snapped to attention. There was a blonde making her way toward the table. Her hair was so blonde it was almost white, and it was in twin pigtails on either side of her head. Her startled green eyes were looking at me from under razor-straight bangs. Her mouth was a bright slash of red against a pale face I was as familiar with as my own. She had on the requisite referee outfit, complete with ruffly little black shorts and fishnet stockings. She also was wearing a pair of black boots that looked a hell of a lot like my own, only girly, and they went up seriously awesome legs to rest below her knees. While I struggled with recognition and my idiot friends leered at her, Nash climbed to his feet to enfold her in a bear hug.
"Hey, girl, what are you doing here?"
Shaw gave a little squeal as she returned my roommate's hug, but her eyes never left mine.
I work here. I have for a while. I normally have Sundays off, but since my schedule changed and it's busy, I picked them up. What are you guys doing here?"
I knew the question was directed at me, but I was still too stunned at how different she looked to respond. Nash left an arm around her shoulder and pointed at our friends. "The guy with the chops is Rowdy. He works at the shop with me and Rule. The guy shoving his face full of nachos is Jet. He sings for Enmity, and we grew up together. Guys, this is Shaw. She grew up with Rule and his brothers." I watched with a mixture of awe and repulsion as my friends practically fell over themselves to shake the hand she extended. I still hadn't said anything, and it was starting to get awkward.
But she just smiled and picked up the empty pitcher and told us she'd be back with another in a few minutes. All four sets of eyes followed the swish of her hair and the ruffles on her ass as she walked away. I wanted to punch everyone, including myself, in the face. As soon as she was out of earshot, Rowdy turned to me and reached across the table to smack me upside the head. I swore and glared at him, but made no move to retaliate. "What the fuck was that for?" He shook his head and pointed a finger at me. "That's the girl you complain about driving home with every weekend? That's the girl you whine endlessly about walking in on you when you're acting the fool? That's the girl you dodge calls from and avoid like the plague? Jeez, Rule, I never knew you were gay." Nash snickered, and Jet busted out in a full belly laugh. I flipped Rowdy off and narrowed my eyes. "Shut up. You don't have any idea what you're talking about." "No. I have eyes, and that chick is killer. So either you're blind or stupid, because if I was cooped up in a car with her for 2 hours every week, I'd be thanking God, not bitching about it." Nash shook his head. "I can't believe you didn't know she worked here. Do you really just ignore everything she says to you?" I glared at him. "You didn't know either, and you talk to her when she comes over on Sundays. I ask her if she wants coffee, not how she makes a living. Dude, admit it, you suck." I was going to argue, but he kept going. "And she is hot. She's always been hot. You just don't like her, so you can't see it. She looks good in all that fancy crap she's normally in, but man, in that uniform. I like her fine." I refused to comment on her hotness, or lack thereof, because it was weird. Of course I had eyes in my head, so I knew logically she's a beautiful girl, but she always seemed so cold and so untouchable that I never really thought of her as attractive. More like an impressive work of art that was meant for viewing in a museum than for everyday enjoyment. "Don't lie. You two can't stand each other." I shrugged a little. "She's like family. You know how I feel about my family." Jet lifted an eyebrow. "I wish my family had members who looked like that." I rolled my eyes. "Knock it off. Stop being a creeper." She came back with not one pitcher, but two, and a plate of wings. She smiled at Nash and the other guys, but when her bright gaze landed on me, the shutters came down. "The wings are on me. I just can't help myself from trying to make sure you eat on Sundays." She turned away with a flip of one of her pale pigtails and moseyed over to another table full of middle-aged guys in ill-fitting jerseys. I narrowed my eyes when one of them put his hand on her ruffle-covered butt. Clearly used to it, Shaw flashed her killer grin and easily sidestepped the groper. It was such a different way to see her that when she walked past the table again, clearly intent on ignoring me, I reached out and grabbed her arm. Her eyes flashed emerald sparks as she looked at the tattooed fingers I'd wrapped around her wrist. I was surprised when a jolt of electricity shot all the way up to my shoulder at the contact. I lifted both eyebrows at her and gave her a nasty sneer. "Do your parents know you work here? What about Margot? I have a hard time believing any of the adults you try so hard to impress know that you're prancing around here half-naked." She scowled at me and shook my hand off. "No, my parents don't know because they've never asked. And Margot knows I work in a sports bar, but she doesn't know what the uniform looks like, and I'm not even close to being half-naked. Leave me alone, Rule. My roommate works here too, and she's giving me the look that means she's about to call in the troops. Unless you want to be carted out of here by three very big bouncers, you'll keep your hands to yourself and your trap shut. I like Nash. He's always been nice enough to me, but I have no problem getting you and the rest of your friends 86'd if you continue to piss me off." We glared at each other in a hostile standoff until one of her other tables flagged her down. "Just one weekend," she muttered so low I almost didn't hear her. I frowned. "What?" Those eyes blazed so much at me I couldn't even pick out one solid emotion. "Just one weekend. I wanted a break from dealing with you." She flounced away from me, and for the first time since I'd met her, I realized that maybe spending time with me was as much a pain for her as it was for me. When I turned back to my friends, they were all looking at me with a mixture of pity and awe. My scowl darkened even more as I chugged back my full beer in one swallow. "What?" I could hear the surliness in my tone.
"Dude, what's the deal with that?"
Rowdy was the one who asked the question, but
but Nash and Jet both looked like they wanted to ask the same thing.
What are you talking about?
Nash lifted up his beard to hide a smile.
You both looked like you either wanted to box each other or tear each other's clothes off and go at it right in the middle of the bar. What gives with that? I thought she bugged you.
She does. She's rich and spoiled, and we don't agree on anything. We never have. Rowdy gave me a look that outright called bullshit on my claim.
I know what I saw, and there is no way you wouldn't take her if she offered it up to you.
I wanted to yell at him that he was wrong, so very wrong, because before she was any of the things that annoyed me and got under my skin, she was Remy's, and there was nothing in heaven or hell that would make me forget that. Pulling in my temper, I poured another beer and lapsed into a moody silence. I wasn't attracted to Shaw. I was just seeing her in a new environment, seeing her in something other than her fancy outfits that cost more than I made in a month. We were almost to the bottom of the second pitcher when, silently, Shaw dropped off a replacement, and a really pretty girl with super short dark hair suddenly appeared at the edge of the table. She was tall and had eyes the color of Jack Daniels, a mouth that would give Angelina Jolie a run for her money, and a body that was meant to stop traffic. She was wearing the same uniform as Shaw, only instead of kick-ass boots, she had on a pair of spike heels that probably made her taller than Nash and Jet. There was nothing on her lovely face that came across as welcoming. Jet sat up straighter, and Rowdy, who was by far the drunkest of all of us, he had started adding shots of tequila 20 minutes ago, almost fell off his stool when she posted up at the table between the two of them. Her gaze was trained directly on me, though, so I met her look for look until she finally spoke. She had a soft southern twang, and I could swear I saw Jet fall in love on the spot.
Your rule.
It wasn't a question, so I just nodded.
I'm Aiden Cross. I live with Shaw.
I wasn't sure why that was supposed to matter to me, so I kept silent while my best friend whipped his head around to glare at me. I was being kinda rude, but I was buzzed and still pissed at Shaw, so I didn't really care.
I don't know what your deal is, but leave her alone. She doesn't need you screwing with her head anymore, so just back off.
I blinked because I honestly had no clue what this babe was talking about. I don't mess with Shaw. She narrowed her eyes and pointed a finger at me.
I know exactly what you do and don't do, tattoo boy. I adore Shaw. She's sweet, nice, and the best roommate ever. You need to just go do your troubled bad boy act somewhere else. She doesn't need it.
It looked as if she was gearing up to lay into me even more, but something caught her eye, and suddenly her eyes were glowing with gold fire.
Oh, my God. I cannot believe that asshole had the nerve to show up here. I need to go get Lou.
She spun on her heel and marched through the crowd, leaving me reeling. I had no clue what she was talking about, but clearly something had crawled up her butt. I looked over my shoulder and felt every protective cell I had suddenly come alive. Shaw was standing by the bar. It was crowded, but her white blonde hair was unmistakable. She looked stressed and freaked out, while a guy in a white polo shirt crowded her into the edge of the bar. He had a hand on her shoulder and was leaning down into her face. Whatever he was saying to her made her look like she wanted to punch him in the nuts or puke on his shoes. I'd never seen a look of panic on her face like that before. She was normally so cool and unflappable. Against my better judgment, I was climbing to my feet. I wasn't the type to give two shits about a damsel in distress, and this damsel, I knew for a fact, could take care of herself. But she looked like she was struggling, and despite how I felt about her, I was going to intervene. I'll be back in a second. Since I'm tall and have a good portion of visible skin covered in designs that cry, "Don't mess with me," I didn't have to worry about people in the crowded bar moving out of my way. When I got close enough, her eyes snapped to me, and I was pretty sure I saw relief flood into their sparkly green depths. Polo shirt leaned in even closer to her, and I thought I heard him say something about how things were going to look when he went home alone over winter break. I saw her stiffen and try to pull away, but Polo Shirt just moved in closer to keep her pinned against the bar.
I don't care what my mother told you, Gabe. We're over. I have no interest in going to Aspen with you or your family. Stop calling me and stop showing up where I'm at.
Baby, we're meant for each other, and once you stop being stubborn, you'll see how great we could be together.
I hated guys who called girls baby. Baby was what you used when you didn't remember the girl's name, or you were just too lazy to come up with your own nickname for her. She wiggled a little more, and I noticed the way the guy's eyes followed the deep V of her revealing outfit.
Let go of me, Gabe. I didn't want to be with you like that when we were dating, and I sure as hell don't want to be with you like that now. Leave me alone.
Polo shirt got red in the face at her blatant rejection. He was about to lean even farther into her, about to put his other hand on her, when I reached out and grabbed her wrist and tugged her free. Polo shirt was a good 4 inches shorter than me, so I tucked Shaw's small frame under my arm and glared at him over the top of her head. Sorry I'm late, Casper. Without missing a beat, she put an arm around my waist and practically collapsed into my side. I had used the nickname to tease her when we were younger because her hair was almost white, and I knew she hated it. Now it sounded intimate and personal, like we had some kind of secret Polo shirt wasn't in on.
No problem. I've got an hour or so left of my shift. Can you hang out until I'm off?
Her eyes were pleading with me to play along, but I was too busy wondering why my side felt like it was on fire where we touched. No problem. Who's your friend? Polo shirt was glaring at me and turning an alarming shade of red. He didn't even give Shaw a chance to respond.
I'm her boyfriend, Gabe Davenport. Who are you?
Shaw went stiff next to me, and I felt her fingers clutch the back of my shirt.
Gabe, this is Rule Archer. Rule, this is Gabe, my ex-boyfriend. Only he's having a hard time getting the ex part down. Shaw, get away from him. What are you thinking? You can't possibly think anyone is going to believe you would go from me to someone like him, can you? Just look at him. He's a mess.
I was immune to this someone like him tactic. I heard it all the time. But apparently Shaw wasn't. She bristled like a wet cat and made a move like she was going to poke the guy in the chest. I wrapped her back up against my side and subtly tried to calm her down by rubbing a hand up and down her bare arm.
I've known Rule most of my life, Gabe. I couldn't care less what he looks like because he isn't anybody's puppet, and the same thing cannot be said about you. Don't think you can stand there and judge him or me, not when you're practically stalking me and trying to bully me into a relationship by manipulating my parents because you know they like you. Aiden is here, and you can bet your ass if she saw you, she's going to go get Lou. Lou doesn't like to see his girls upset, so unless you want a scene I'm sure you'll never live down, go away and don't come back. You can call my mom, talk to my dad all you want. I don't want to be with you, and nothing is going to change that.
He looked like he was gearing up to keep fighting, but there was a sudden surge toward the bar, knocking Shaw even farther into my embrace, and I took full advantage by pulling her small frame completely in line with mine. The girl was rocking some serious curves, and I wondered what in the hell I had been smoking to miss it right up until now. "We got a problem, bro?" I asked him. She pulled away from me slightly with a scowl, and I put her hands in the center of my chest to get a little space.
"Yeah, bro, we do. But now isn't the time or the place. I don't have time to mess around with a peon like you. Shaw, I'll see you later. This isn't over."
He shoulder-checked me and glared as he pushed around us. I gave Shaw a squeeze and let her take a step back, but kept my hand loosely at her waist. I was watching Polo shirt walk away and trying to catch Nash's eye over her head. She let out a breath that fluttered against my throat and sent a chill running across my skin.
"Thanks."
"No problem. That guy needs to get a clue." Nash finally looked up and I jerked my head toward the door, where Polo shirt had just exited. He gave me a slight nod, stood, and said something to Rowdy and Jet, which had the two of them climbing to their feet as well. I saw Shaw's dark-haired roommate hanging by the door with a mountain of a man. She gave my friends an odd look as they filed out the door, but didn't say anything. I dug my Amex out of my wallet and put it in Shaw's hand. Her luminous eyes were watching me curiously. "Close our tab out on that, will you? I'll be back in just a second." She took the card and fell back a step. I tried not to notice what it did to her breasts when she crossed her arms over her chest.
"Where are you going?"
"To run an errand."
"Leave Gabe alone, Rule. He isn't like you in Rome. He was born to be a politician. Threats and intimidation don't mean anything to someone like that. Just forget about him. The idea that I would leave him for a guy with tattoos and purple hair is enough of a blow to his ego to get him to leave me alone for a while. Trust me. Besides, I'll talk to Lou, the bouncer. If I tell him that Gabe is harassing me, they'll 86 him for good.
Look, Rome would kick my ass to Nebraska if he found out some douchebag was giving you trouble and I didn't say something. Plus, I hate a guy who thinks he can just do whatever he wants to a girl because he has an in with the parents. I'll be back in a second. Just close our tab and hold on to the card in case you have to bail one or all of us out of jail. I thought it was funny, but she didn't even crack a smile. She was just looking at me like I'd suddenly grown another head. I needed to get a move on before the asshat left. It'll be fine, Shaw. Seriously. I got this. I set her fully away from me and moved around her to follow the guys out the front door. The pretty roommate caught my eye and lifted a brow.
Maybe you have redeeming qualities after all, Archer.
I flipped her off because, well, that's what I do. I made my way to the edge of the block, where Nash and the boys were leaning against a white Lexus. A very nervous-looking polo shirt was pacing back and forth in front of them, threatening to call the cops, waving his iPhone around, and asking repeatedly if they had any idea who his dad was. I tucked my hands in my front pockets and cocked my head to the side. I could see why Shaw's parents loved this guy. He was all right-looking, if you went for a dude who looked like Banana Republic threw up all over him. He actually had coloring similar to mine, dark hair minus the purple and spikes, and light blue eyes, but he oozed entitlement and vanity in a way only the idle rich can. He was custom-made to be the husband who had a piece on the side while the pretty wife smiled for the cameras during election time. While my relationship with Shaw tended to be tumultuous at best, I knew on a soul-deep level that she deserved better than whatever this slimeball was selling. Hey, polo shirt, slow down a minute. I just want to talk to you for a second. He was in the middle of telling Nash that he was going to sue him for this or that, and that his dad was a judge so they would throw the book at him when he finally noticed I'd join the party. He lowered his wildly flailing arms and glared at me.
I know who you are, you know. Shaw might think she's clever, but she has a picture of you and your brothers in her room on her nightstand. Her parents have told me multiple times about her unhealthy attachment to you and your family. Her father has even threatened to stop paying for school for her if she keeps showing such questionable judgment in who she spends time with. This little encounter might just seal the deal.
I had to give the creep credit. On my own, I'm a fairly intimidating guy. But he was surrounded by guys who were just as big and a hell of a lot more used to physical violence than he obviously was. But the little puke held his ground.
I don't know what her fascination with a freak like you is, but it's time for her to outgrow it. She belongs with someone like me, not someone who can't go through a metal detector without clearing out his face.
Nash snickered, and Rowdy laughed outright. I just shook my head a little and lifted my mouth in a twisted grin. I think she belongs with someone more interested in getting into her pants than into her daddy's wallet. Shaw's a good girl. And she has a good head on her shoulders. The fact she wouldn't let you even round first base in 6 months is pretty telling, bro. From the sounds of it, you'd have better luck taking her folks on a date than her. Look, she's like family, and I don't like it when people mess with my family. This is a friendly little chat, because we're on a public street and I'm feeling generous. Next time, it won't be public. And my generosity has a time limit. Leave her alone. End of story. He looked like he wanted to argue, wanted to say something back. But the mountain of a human being who was clearly the bouncer for the bar came around the corner. Lou looked at the guys leaning on the car, and then to the heated polo shirt, and shook his head.
Enough. You four go back in. Iden told me what was going on, so your tab's on me.
You. He pointed a meaty finger at Gabe.
You are no longer allowed the goal line. Consider yourself 86th. If Shaw doesn't want you here, I don't care how much you got in your wallet or what kind of pull your old man has, this is my house, and you aren't welcome. Next time you want to get all up on one of my girls or put your hands on him,
You won't have to worry about these guys, because I'll make sure they never find your body. Understand? Even I didn't question that this monster meant business, so Polo Shirt gulped and nodded his head slightly. My boys pushed off the car and Nash accidentally shoved into him as they made their way over to where I was standing. Gabe swore and jumped into his car. He pulled away from the curb and flipped us all the bird as he squealed into traffic. The bouncer looked me up and down and flicked his impassive gaze over our motley crew.
You friends with Shaw?
I mean, we weren't friends, exactly. But it was as close as any other explanation, so I shrugged and answered.
Sure.
He nodded.
I'm Lou.
I look out for the girls who work here. Shaw and Aiden just happen to be two of my favorites. They're good girls, and they work hard here. They aren't here to just show their asses and get into trouble. I respect that. I don't let anyone mess with those two. In fact, I take it personally when someone tries to. I wasn't sure why he was telling me all this, but frankly, he was one scary mother, so I kept my mouth shut and just kept making eye contact.
Shaw's a sweet kid, but she tries to do too much by herself. If that asshole keeps bothering her, she'll just suffer it in silence.
Now he was looking at me pointedly, so I lifted an eyebrow.
I want to know if something needs to be done about him.
Shaw and I aren't exactly close. She wouldn't tell me something like that.
You might want to have this talk with her roommate. I'm having it with you, son.
I wasn't sure how to respond to that. But just as I was about to say something sarcastic, the door to the bar opened, and the middle-aged guys in the jerseys came spilling out and got between us. Lou gave me one last direct look, which I took as him meaning business, and went back inside. I looked back at my friends and sort of threw my hands up in the air. Is this what I miss when I go out of town on Sunday? All three of them burst into laughter, and Jed decided it was time for us to move on to another bar, and I ran inside to get my card from Shaw. The guys pitched in $10 each for me to give her as a tip, and I wound my way back to the bar, where she was talking to another waitress with honey-gold hair and dressed in a cheerleader uniform. Shaw stopped mid-sentence and looked at me through narrowed eyes. I grinned at her and handed her the money. Your bouncer friend picked up our tab, but the boys wanted to make sure you got taken care of. She handed me the Amex card back.
What did you do to Gabe?
Nothing. She sighed, and I didn't even try not to watch the way it stretched her tiny little uniform across her chest.
Well, thanks for intervening. I don't know what his problem is.
The cheerleader was having sex with me with her eyes, and while I was normally a fan of hot chicks doing that to me, I barely even registered her because Shaw was bending over to get her drinks, and the ruffles on her butt were suddenly the only thing I could see. She was short, so I'd never really thought about her having such great legs, but they were toned and curved just right. Given enough time, I could work up some seriously awesome fantasies involving those legs and those boots and nothing else. His problem is you're hot, richer than hell, have parents who are connected out the ass, and you wouldn't put out. You not only left him physically hard up, but blue-balled his visions of playing golf with your dad at the country club and sitting next to your mom at the Republican convention. You dismantled everything he was trying to build. She flipped one of her pigtails and picked up a tray full of drinks.
I gotta get back to work. You think we can ever have a Sunday not filled with drama and fights?
I ran a hand over my messy hair and shook my head ruefully. Sundays have never been a great day for me. I'll catch you later, Shaw.
Bye, Rule.
I made my way back out of the bar thinking that this had probably been the first time since I'd met Shaw when she was just a kid that I'd ever seen Shaw be Shaw. It made me a little nervous that when she didn't have all her guards up and all her haughty defense mechanisms in place, she seemed so fallible, so undeniably human, so approachable, and so attainable.
Chapter 4. Shaw. I counted the pile of money in front of me for the fifth time. I was having a hard time concentrating for a few reasons. First, the bar had gotten busy, so I had stayed 2 hours past my shift, and I was dragging. Second, there were 10 other girls all trying to cash out, and the chatter was like a swarm of bees buzzing about purses and boys. Third, Aiden kept watching me like a hawk, looking for something, but I didn't know what. And finally, Lauren Decker, my post-high school Amy Rogers, wouldn't stop talking my ear off about Rule. Lauren was a living, breathing centerfold, and was what happened when Mean Girls left high school and entered the real world. She was vapid, boring, and made more money than most of us combined when she was on the schedule because her job was to be flirty and come across as easy. Things that were hardly a stretch for her. For some reason, she was dying to get every single detail I possessed about Rule. She wanted to know how I knew him, how come he had never been in the bar before, how old he was, what he did for a living, if we were dating, if he had a girlfriend, if he liked blondes, and so on and so forth. It was endless, exhausting, and I think it bothered me that yet another bimbo was just tripping over herself to fall on him. Although I knew my feelings for Rule were my burden to bear alone, I wasn't about to offer up my slutty co-worker on a platter. So I just kept grunting responses and evading all the personal questions, which unfortunately didn't stop her from rambling about how good-looking he was. I mean, I don't normally go for guys with all those tattoos and piercings like that, but oh my god, those eyes! Have you ever seen anything like them? They're like minty toothpaste or something, so pretty. And his body? I bet he works out. I mean, I normally like a guy with a six-pack, but that tall, lean thing totally works with his look. What kind of girls does he normally go for? Are you sure he doesn't have a girlfriend? Seriously, Shaw, I just want to lick that hoop he has on the side of his lip like so freaking bad. I can't believe you've been friends with someone that sexy and haven't gotten a piece. That's like against nature. I hadn't gotten a piece of anyone, ever. Not that she needed to know that. Guys had tried, and I had been tempted, but every time I was close to sealing the deal, my brain short-circuited and reminded me that they weren't who I really wanted, and I shut down like a light going off. I looked up at her and narrowed my eyes. Lore, I'm trying to do my cash out. Can this wait? Just give me his number, she insisted. I was close to losing it and ready to shove the pile of ones down her throat. Aiden must have sensed the storm brewing, because she settled in the seat next to me and leveled a dark look at the blonde. There was just something about Aiden that made people pay attention to her. Whatever it was, I loved her for it. Lore, give the girl a break. It's not like they're besties. If you wanted to ask him out, you should have done it while he was here. She made a face that probably made guys buy her things, but made me want to roll my eyes. I would have, but he was too busy checking out Shaw's ass. That's why I asked what was going on between them. I mean, he didn't even give you a hug or anything when he left, but you looked at each other like you were about to start making out any second. Startled, I looked up at Aiden. Since when did Rule, who normally ignored me or pretended I didn't exist, start checking anything on me out? She lifted her eyebrow. If Shaw runs into him any time in the near future, I'm sure she'll pass it along that you want his number, or she can just give him yours if he's interested. Now, let's talk about something really important. What do you want to do for your birthday? It's only 2 weeks away. I groaned and gave up on trying to get an accurate count. Instead, I just handed the money to Aiden and started sorting and stapling the credit card slips, which took far less brain power. I hated my birthday. Normally, it was a fight between which parent and step-parent I was going to spend an awkward dinner with. When they bothered to remember, that is. Last year, I just got a card from Dad with a check for a grand in it, and a call from my mother with a promise of something when she found time. There was never time. Aiden had ended up taking me for sushi and to see some stupid romantic comedy, and the day passed, lackluster and unremarkable. Even the Archers tended to be low-key on my birthday. I think it reminded them that another year had passed, and that Remy was still gone. Rome always sent me something from whatever part of the world he was in, and to date, his were always my favorite gifts. I guess since I was turning 20 this year, I should try to make a big deal about it. I just didn't want to. "Why don't we go dancing?" Lauren suggested, and I looked at her like she had grown a third head. I didn't really socialize with the girls from work, but not because I didn't like them. Some of them were really sweet, and most of them were just like me and Aiden, struggling to pay bills and balance college, but they were usually also into drinking, partying, meeting guys, going out, and doing all the things that just didn't register for me. Granted, I needed the actual income far less, but it gave me peace of mind every time either of my parents tried to use the fact they paid the bills for me as leverage to get me to do something they wanted. I didn't need any more people in the world thinking I was fundamentally broken, so I just avoided those kinds of social interactions. I don't dance. Aiden scowled at the blonde. Plus, who invited you? She blinked heavily lashed eyes and wrinkled her nose. I thought maybe since it's your birthday, Mr. Tall, Dark, and Tattooed would be around. I'm telling you, ladies, I'm in stage 4 lust, and it can only be cured by Rule. Aiden and I shared a look, and I went back to my stapling. No, my birthday isn't a big deal, so Rule won't be around. I like to keep it low-key. You mean boring? I wasn't friends with Lauren. In fact, I wasn't even particularly fond of her, so I was about to tell her to stick it where the sun didn't shine, which was pretty out of character for me, but Aiden just kept on talking like Lauren wasn't even there. Come on, Shaw, let's do something fun. You know your parents are just going to stress you out, and you only turn 20 once. It needs to be fun and exciting. She had a glimmer in her amber eyes, and I knew she was cooking something up that I would be hard-pressed to talk her out of. I shoved the piles of paper into the drop bag and took the money Aiden handed me and did my tally. We always made good money, but for whatever reason, today had been very profitable. I pulled my hair out of the ties and raked my nails across my scalp. Let's talk about it later, okay? I just want to find Lou to walk us out in case Gabe decided to show back up and head home. She hooked her arm through mine, and we made our way to the main entrance. Do you think he would have the nerve to do that? I mean, Rule and his friends seemed pretty intent on getting the point across that he back off, and Lou told him to scram or he was going to kill him. I don't know, Aid. He's acting crazy. I never would have thought he would show up here and try to be all grabby and in my face. I don't know what's going on anymore. I mean, it isn't like we had some great romance and I left him heartbroken or anything. We were lukewarm on our best days. Rule thinks he's embarrassed that I dumped him, plain and simple. He's probably right. I made a face as Lou escorted us to my car. We said goodbye and headed home. I was trying so hard to make decisions that were best for everyone. I wanted Rule to have the love and support of his family. I wanted Margot to get help and stop vilifying her son. I wanted Gabe to get over his deal and just move on. And mostly, I wanted to stop feeling so responsible for it all. The next week went by in a blur. I had two tests, picked up an extra shift at work, and was doing a very complicated game of Dodge the X. Gabe also went to DU, and even though he was pre-law and typically on the other end of campus, he seemed to be popping up around every corner and called me at least twice a day. I was considering getting a new number, but it seemed like such a hassle that I just sent his calls to voicemail and got really good at pretending I didn't see him. Rome called and said Margot wasn't doing any better. She was flat out refusing to go see a grief counselor and was now blaming Rule for the fact that I refused to come to Brookside on the weekends. According to Rome, she was insisting Rule had somehow brainwashed me and turned me against her. He wasn't comfortable leaving her alone just yet, even though Rule was harassing him to come to Denver and hang out. I could tell he was feeling the familiar tug I often felt of being caught between his brother and his mom. I was bummed he wasn't going to be around on my birthday, but he had so much on his plate I didn't say anything. When the weekend rolled around, I was tempted to give my Sunday shift away, just to avoid one more weekend of drama, but the bar was busy, and if Rule came in with his friends, I didn't see him. It was still weird not having to wrangle him for family brunch every Sunday, but when my shift was over and there hadn't been any headaches or accusations or hurt feelings, I breathed my first sigh of relief in what felt like years. I was feeling so mellow, I let Aiden talk me into skipping a study group and going to grab Mexican food instead. It was the first time in forever that I just felt like me, and I almost didn't know what to do with myself. Since it was the start of a new semester, and I felt like I was drowning in homework, I gave away my Friday and Sunday shifts, and I wasn't scheduled Saturday since it was my birthday, and everyone at the bar knew that Lou just loved me and would murder anyone who tried to make me work on the day I turned 20. By the time Friday afternoon rolled around, I still hadn't heard from either of my folks, so I figured I was off the hook for forced family time. I did receive a text from Margot asking me to reconsider this Sunday for my birthday. I had replied that I would gladly come, if Rule was invited as well, and hadn't heard anything back. Aiden was being secretive about what she had planned, and it was making me nervous. I would have been happy with sushi and the movies again, but she kept insisting that we needed to branch out, have an adventure, and do something new. Those words and her take-no-prisoners attitude seemed like a recipe for disaster, but I was trying to stay positive because she was only trying to be nice to me. I was walking out of my anatomy class and texting one of the girls from work to remind her that she was working my closing shift that night when I bumped into someone and immediately recoiled in fear and irritation. Gabe was standing in front of me looking as wrinkle-free and immaculately groomed as always. His dark hair looked like he had been running his hands through it non-stop, and when he reached out to steady me, I scrambled back so fast that I almost fell backward onto my ass. "What are you doing?" I wanted to sound indignant and hostile, but my voice cracked, and I had to clear my throat to regain my composure. His blue eyes searched mine intently, and I wondered how I had ever found him attractive. Now he just weirded me out.
You aren't returning any of my calls, and you've been really hard to pin down lately.
That's because I don't want to talk to you or see you. Get out of my way.
Shaw, wait.
He held up a hand and dug something out of his pocket and held it out toward me.
I know your birthday is tomorrow, and I just wanted to get you something to say I'm so sorry for how I've been acting. I was just crazy that you might have moved on to that freak, but your mom explained that it isn't like that between the two of you. Here, take it.
He shoved the velvet box toward me, and I backed away like he was holding a live snake in his hand. I'm not taking that from you. I'm not taking anything from you. Leave me alone, Gabe. I'm serious.
Look, Shaw, you can't honestly believe there can ever really be anything between you and that guy. Your mom told me you've been carrying a torch for him for years, and that he's never even looked twice at you. You're just not his type. You're too good for him, and he knows it. Just give me another chance. We make so much sense together.
I wanted to punch him, but I just let the ice that traveled through me at his words coat all the anger I felt starting to build. No. I didn't say anything else, just no, because I didn't need to explain myself or my feelings or the fact that I knew most of what he said about Rule was true. I wasn't too good for him. I was just too me for him to see me as anything other than he always had, and I made peace with that years ago. I took a few more stumbling steps backward and then turned on my heel and broke into a full-on jog to get away from him. I think he called my name, but I didn't care. I just bolted. He was starting to really freak me out, and the fact that my own mother was giving out the most intimate details of my life to him just made me want to vomit. I couldn't believe that a woman who didn't even bother to make note of when I was moving out of her house for college had noticed how I felt about Rule. If Gabe didn't knock it off, I was going to have to look into not only changing my phone number, but also possibly getting a restraining order against him. When I got home, the apartment was empty, so like a dork, I made sure all the doors were double-locked and that the deadbolt on the front door was closed. I hid out in my room and did homework and wallowed in the self-pity that was threatening to drown me. I didn't consider myself an overly outgoing or optimistic person. It came from years of being overlooked at home and socially awkward at school. For a while, Remy had managed to pull my head out of the privileged shell I normally cowered in. I had thought for sure that when I left Brookside and went off to college, I would come into my own, but instead, Remy had died, and I was still trying so hard to be all kinds of things to people who just didn't seem to appreciate my efforts. I dressed nice and minded my P's and Q's so that my parents would totally forget I existed. I babysat Rule and put up with his awful behavior because I wanted Margot and Dale to remember that he needed and deserved their love just as much as Remy had. I wore a ridiculous outfit to work and put up with silly girls and drunk customers because Aiden deserved a solid roommate she could rely on. And mostly, I acted like interacting with Rule, watching him plow his way through the greater population of young adult women in Denver, didn't bother me and didn't kill something inside me. And doing all these things day in and day out was starting to turn the little bits that were really me into a shadow. I knew the reason I had initially agreed to go out with Gabe was because he, in a very vague sense, reminded me of Rule. He had dark hair and light eyes, and although he was preppy and clean-cut, he still had a little bit of mischief in him that just got past my normal reservations. I had known within the first few dates there was no spark. There never was. I was always looking for something, or rather someone, that wasn't there. Gabe was polite and comfortable until he realized I didn't want things to get physical. 6 months was a long time to string someone along, I knew that. But it didn't justify the bizarre, obsessive behavior he was showing now, and it was just one more burden I felt I had to shoulder. I was so ready to just let it all go. I changed into a pair of sweats and curled up on the bed to watch some Netflix. Knowing that Aiden wouldn't be home from her shift until after 2, I was left to pout alone. I should be out and about, should have a phone full of friends I could call to spend a rare Friday night off with, but I didn't, and that was just sad. All I needed was a couple of cats and a pint of ice cream to make the pathetic picture complete. Sometime after my second romantic comedy and Chinese delivery, I vowed to fully embrace whatever Aiden had in store for me for my birthday tomorrow, because what I was doing now was depressing. My roomie was right. I needed some fun, needed to lighten up, and I was on board with however she decided to make that happen. I fell asleep watching yet another dorky girl get a fantastic makeover because for whatever reason the guy she longed for couldn't see how beautiful she was under her glasses and messy hair. I woke up the next morning to happy birthday texts from Rome and my father. As usual, there was nothing from my mom, and I hated to admit I was sad that Margot didn't send one. I decided to make breakfast and headed to the kitchen. I was surprised by a beautiful bouquet on the kitchen table, and recoiled when I saw who the card was from. I was seriously going to have to do something about Gabe. Aiden was an early riser, and she went running every morning no matter how late she got in from work the night before. She motioned to the flowers with her mug and scowled. They were on the porch when I got back from my run. I think I might have to get a restraining order. Isn't his dad a judge or something? I sighed. Yeah. Getting Gabe to back off might be harder than I thought. Do you want me to make breakfast? She shook her dark head, and her eyes glittered at me with excitement. No. I have the best birthday planned for you in the history of birthdays. First, we're going to Lucille's. I loved Lucille's. It was a popular Cajun restaurant in Washington Park, and probably one of the few places outside of New Orleans where you could find an honest-to-God beignet. Yay, sounds good. What else is on the docket for today? Shopping. I made a face because I hate shopping. I lived in a ridiculous uniform for work and expensive name-brand clothes that my parents insist I wear because I'm supposed to be dressing for the job I want and not the job I have. Apparently, doctors of any sort don't walk around in jeans and t-shirts, even when they're off the clock. Seeing my face, she grinned evilly. No, we aren't going rich girl shopping. We're going normal, everyday college girl shopping. We're going to the mall, we're going to my favorite thrift store, we're going to that cool vintage store on Pearl Street, and you, my friend, are not allowed to spend more than $50 on any one thing. There will be no $200 heels, no $500 cashmere sweater sets, and no perfectly tailored slacks that are hand-stitched by blind monks in the Andes or whatever. We're just going to be two normal friends spending a day blowing our tips on useless crap. That actually sounded like fun and something I'd never done. And then, she said, her whiskey-tinted eyes widening dramatically, we're going to the salon and getting our hair done and mani-pedis. One of the girls in my inorganic chemistry class has this great hair. She looks like Rainbow Bright. She swears by this place. So we're going to get all pretty, put on our new normal girl clothes, and go have dinner at that Brazilian place we've both been dying to try. It sounded awesome. All of it sounded awesome. I was about to launch myself at her in a huge hug of gratitude when she held up a hand. I'm not done. She disappeared into her room for a minute and came back out with a card in a pink envelope. Then, you are going to take this very cool, very necessary birthday present I got you and come out with me. I don't mean out to Dave and Buster's or Old Chicago. I mean out. I will cram a good time down your pretty little throat if it frickin' kills me. I opened the card with mild trepidation. I didn't know what she meant by out. Inside the card was a shiny wrapped present that at first glance looked like a credit card. After I read her sweet birthday wishes, I carefully pulled the paper off and gasped when I saw what was looking back up at me. Aid? I can't use this. The ID had my face on it, my birthday, only 1 year older, and looked exactly like a Colorado driver's license. In fact, it looked so much like the one in my wallet, there was hardly any difference. Oh, yes, you can. You've spent 20 years being everybody's good little girl, and I'm sick of you killing yourself over it. Most girls your age go out, sneak into clubs, kiss boys, have sloppy one-night stands, get into ridiculous, drama-filled fights with their girlfriends, and you, Shaw, you don't do any of that. Tonight, you are taking that ID and coming out with me, and you will act like every idiot 20-year-old I know. We're going to drink too much, act silly, and have fun. You deserve it. I can't remember the last time I saw you smile or laugh. You're letting your soul wither away trying to be someone you're just not, and I can't stand by and watch it happen anymore. I turn 21 next year. I'm not sure why I thought that was a valid argument to all her more than accurate points, but for some reason it's what plopped out of my mouth. She shook her dark head. Who cares? You're 20 today and you're living like you're 50. It stung because on the last trip to Brookside, Rule had said pretty much the same thing. With a sigh, I remembered my resolution last night to just turn myself over to Aiden's plan, to, for once, just let go. I tucked some hair behind my ears and squared my shoulders. Okay. Aiden looked up under raised eyebrows. Okay? Yep, let's do this. Let the birthday fun and debauchery commence. She squealed loud enough to make my ears hurt and rushed around the table to wrap me up in a hug that squeezed the life out of me. Trust me, Shaw, you will never forget today. And she was right, because by the end of the night, this birthday would prove to be life-changing. Breakfast was amazing. We stuffed ourselves so full of fried goodness that by the time we hit the mall, I needed to do a few laps just to keep moving. I tried on a million pairs of jeans and ended up buying quite a few. I grabbed a pair of Chuck Taylors that I'd always wanted, but never had the nerve to buy because they would immediately be deemed inappropriate. I stocked up on boring old t-shirts and tank tops. At the thrift store, I scooped up an awesome old-school leather jacket and a couple Western-style shirts with pearl buttons that I knew would look awesome with my new skinny jeans. At the vintage store, I went a little crazier because I just fell in love with all the 50s and 60s style dresses. I looked like a character out of Mad Men in a few of them, and like Betty Page, minus the height, in a couple more. I bought a pair of heels that were peacock blue and had sequined feathers on the side, and a sweet pillbox hat that I probably would never wear but adored. More important, I laughed with Aiden for hours while we tried on one thing after another. I felt like a giant weight was off my chest. It was fun, plain and simple, and the fact I had forgotten what that felt like was just sad. At the salon, I got a hot pink mani-pedi and, just for kicks, had them add little black stars. It was cool and totally unlike the normal, pale and pearly colors I went for. The lady doing it had bright green dreadlocks and a tattoo across her forehead, so I was thrilled when she grinned at me and told me she approved. Everyone who worked at the salon had a cool, rock and roll kind of vibe. I normally would have felt out of place and reserved, but they were all so nice and friendly that it was impossible to do anything but relax and have a good time. The guy in charge of my hair was a big, obviously gay, African-American with a shiny bald head with a big eye tattooed on it. He was dressed head to toe in leopard print and was wearing shoes that certainly cost more than mine. He was sweet and told me my hair was gorgeous and suggested I just put some layers in it to give it body and life. I was all on board, and even asked him if he could do something new with the color. My hair was so pale I normally avoided dyeing it, simply because it would just be too extreme. His dark eyes gleamed in excitement when I asked for something kicky, but still respectable. What I got was my normal ash blonde with a shadow of chestnut brown underneath. It was awesome and different, but understated enough not to be alarming. My favorite part was that he had bisected my super straight bangs in half and added the darker color to one side. It was trendy and hip and so different from what my hair normally looked like. I hugged him hard in glee on my way out. He hugged me back, more than likely because I tipped him enough to take a weekend trip, but who cared? I looked awesome. We ran back to the house to get dolled up for dinner. I put on one of my new outfits, a super tight pencil skirt and a sheer blue top with a black cami underneath. I curled my new hair, put on more makeup than I normally wore, and decided, just for the hell of it, to wear my awesome black boots that looked like something a Harley Davidson model would wear. They gave my look a certain edge that I was feeling after a day of letting the real Shaw off her perpetual leash. At the restaurant, Aiden's slinky red dress, which made her long legs look endless, had our waiter practically drooling into our water every time he stopped by to refill our glasses. She made me try out my new ID by ordering a drink, and it worked like a charm. Before I knew it, we were both feeling no pain and having a great time bouncing from club to club in Lodo and hitting the hip dive bars in Capitol Hill. I was surprised that I didn't even need to show the fake ID at most places. Turns out, a tight skirt and exposed cleavage work just as well. I was laughing hysterically at Aiden doing an impression of some guy flailing around on the dance floor. We had drawn a fair amount of attention everywhere we'd gone and had had to pay for very few drinks. At the moment, a guy from CU Boulder was telling me all about his illustrious football career. Or rather, he was telling my boobs about it, since I don't think he had looked up from the girls once. Aiden was rolling her eyes and trying to avoid some guy in a banker suit who was offering to do her taxes for free if she gave him her number. It was silly and fun, and I didn't have to work hard at the flirting or being charming. I was well on my way to being wasted, so conversation was out. All I had to do was smile and sit prettily on the bar stool. Two things I was apparently getting really good at. Another Cosmo, which I definitely didn't need, had just appeared before me, and Mr. Football was leaning even closer to me, when some sixth sense, or maybe it was my fight-or-flight response, suddenly kicked into overdrive. I lifted my head and swiveled around on the stool, practically kneeing the leering football player. I looked around, craning my neck to see what had my skin suddenly feeling too tight, but all I saw was the regular bar crowd mixing and mingling. The football player was trying to get my attention back by running a finger up and down my bare arm. I guess it was supposed to be sexy, but now I was drunk and unnerved and I wanted him to get lost. I was suddenly ready to go and looked around for Aiden so we could get a cab and get out of there. Before I could find her, a warm hand slid under the heavy fall of my hair and settled on the back of my neck. A deep voice growled in my ear, "How in the fuck did you get in here, Casper? And what did you do to your hair?" The football player's eyes went huge because, well, rule was rule. Gone was the purple hair spiked up in a crazy mess. Now he had it all shaved on the sides and bleached out into a startling white mohawk that was several inches tall. He had on a tight black shirt with a flaming skull in a Viking helmet on it, showing off both sleeves of tattoos, a pair of black jeans with a hole in the knee, and his heavy black motorcycle boots. He should have looked sloppy and unkempt next to the V-neck sweater-wearing footballer, but he didn't. He looked hot and rumpled and clearly not someone to be messed with. The footballer pushed away from the bar in a hurry and vanished into the crowd. I was drunk. Admittedly, probably not the best state to try to go toe-to-toe with Rule, but I liked my hair, and he wasn't going to rain on all my birthday vibes, especially since he clearly didn't even remember what day it was. I shook his grip loose and sucked back the tart drink in one swallow. "What are you doing here?" He lifted an eyebrow at me and took up the same spot the football player had vacated, looking down my low-cut top. "This bar is right around the corner from the shop. Nash and I stop by all the time after work. I just finished with a client. I know they ID at the door. How did you get in?" I flipped my hair over my shoulder like I had seen endless annoying girls do, only I practically fell off my stool because that last drink was letting me know just how bad an idea it had been to chug it. I grabbed the edge of the bar, and Rule reached out a hand to steady me. I felt like it burned where he gripped my upper arm. Definitely should have listened to my flight response a minute ago. I put a hand on my forehead because it was warm and I suddenly felt clammy. "I need to go." It was too hot, too loud, and if I didn't get out into some fresh air, like now, I was pretty sure I was going to puke everywhere. I tried to climb to my feet, but the room started to spin around like crazy, and I had to grab on to Rule's biceps just to stay upright. I was so glad I opted for my boots instead of heels. I would have ended up on my face otherwise. "Who drove?" Rule's voice was coming from far away, and he smelled really good. With a sigh, I leaned into him and buried my nose in his throat. He was so tall, I had to use my leverage on his arms to reach.
"Seriously, Shaw, how did you get here?"
"Aiden and I, we took a cab."
"Where is she?"
"With a banker. I need to go home." I felt my boozy legs start to wobble, and he locked a heavy arm around my waist to keep me anchored to his chest. It was nice. Not bothering to think about it, I wrapped both my arms up around his neck. He felt as good as I always knew he would.
"Her roommate is running around somewhere. Want to see if you can grab her? I'm gonna walk her to our place."
I wasn't sure who he was talking to, but a familiar voice rumbled an affirmative. The next thing I knew, I was being half-marched, half-carried out the front door of the bar. The cold January air made me snap my head back, and Rule moved me from the front of his body to his side, securing me with an arm around my shoulders. I hooked an